Review Mr. Robert Bent, Superintendent of Choctaw Tribe.
What are your duties as superintendent?
Duties of a superintendent here is basically supervisory. It's to make sure that all the programs here connected with Bureau of Indian Affairs are run correctly and make sure that we're doing the job that we're supposed to be doing. That includes several areas of operation that we do have. So it's mainly supervisory.
Could you tell us a little about your background?
Well, I'm full-blood Choctaw to begin with, a native of this part of the country, I guess. Some people call it Yoko, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I grew up in Standing Pine, I think most of them know. Spent a few years in school, finished college in Mississippi College in Cleveland, Mississippi. 1956, it's longer than I want to think about. 20 years ago, really. And then I spent several years with the United States Navy in the Pacific Ocean mainly. Service there, and about 2 years down the naval station in New Orleans. Resigned the commission, came back to this part of the country, worked for a while with the Carthaginian newspaper in Carthage, and I came to the Bureau 10 years ago as a housing officer. It was almost 4 years ago is when I was appointed superintendent. October 10th, I think, was 4 years. I was appointed by the area director, Eastern Area, in Washington.
Were you a Yustaki at Barnes?
No, I never was.
How long did you attend?
As a superintendent? There's no set years or set month that you have to serve here. There's no term like that. So. Appointed, and then long as your boss is satisfactory with the work, and long as the tribe is satisfied with my work, then here we are. And there again, it also depends on me as a person, too. As long as I feel like I'm doing a job, then I'm here.
You're the first Choctaw
superintendent. Mississippi Choctaw. I think there was a superintendent. Back in the early 50s, I believe he was part of Choctaw in Oklahoma. Mr. Harden, I don't know whether many of you remember him or not. He was part of Choctaw.
What programs are
Under the jurisdiction here? The Choctaw agency served two tribes. Of course, the big tribe here is Choctaw, and the small tribe in South Louisiana, Chittimacha tribe. And the services we do provide is the biggest one, of course, is the education system. Biggest in employees and biggest in budget, and I think also biggest in reaching the Indian people in the local reservation. And of course, we are also responsible for the operation of the criminal justice system, the police officers, the police system, and also we provide technical service to the Court of Indian Offenses with the Choctaw Tribe. And then another responsibility we do have is the operation of the social services program here, which includes the general assistance program to people in need and providing child welfare services to the Indian children who are in need and who are neglected, or abused, or don't have a proper home, those type of Indian children. And then we're also responsible for the operation of the facilities, the government facilities, like the schools. We take care of the maintenance, we take care of the repairs, we pay the light bills and gas bills and various other things that just takes care of the facilities. That's the plant management section. And then we're also responsible for the construction of new roads and maintenance of the existing roads. putting the gravel on and paving work. There's a need for new roads, then we do design those and have them constructed. And then several other programs that we have. One is revolving credit for this, for the Indian people who can't get credit for their needs elsewhere, then the revolving credit is available to borrow money for various purposes like going to college, building a house, or setting up a business, or things of that nature. And then also within that, we do have a leasing section of helping the tribe on running their leases on the tribal land. Families want to lease land to build a house, lease land to farm, or to have a pasture, or to set up a business. Those types of things, they take care of that. And of course, another section we have here is forestry. Takes care of planting the trees and maintaining the correct procedures for forestry matters. We also take care of lumber, timber cutting and pulpwood cutting. And we also take care of pest control, all these bugs that gets in the trees and stuff like that. And also fire protection, forest fire. And another section we have here, of course, is mainly the administrative section. And these are the people who take care of all your personnel matters, and buying the food, the supplies, and the material that's needed to help the operation. Also, they are responsible for the proper care of the property, the government property that we use here. And they also take care of the records. And we also take care of the tribal enrollment, maintain the enrollment for the Choctaw tribe. So I believe that's about the extent of it. But there's several things that we don't have a particular section being taken care of, several areas of operation, but we try to handle it from here. Say, for instance, planning. Long-range planning for the operation agency, and also the assistance of the tribe and various other things. Also, we try to, the tribe asks us to provide some sort of assistance administratively or some sort of technical areas that they want assistance, then we're obligated to do that.
What is your salary?
My salary is, let me check. Okay. My salary is $28,651 a year. We don't know how to break down the monthly. Hope to get a raise next month. Government people's always get a raise next month. This year? As of August 30, we've got 1,193. That's all the seven elementary schools and the high school. So I'm sure we'll have some more. You know, this is just the first 2 weeks of school. I think we open school in the middle of August. So I mean, we'll have some people coming in another month or so.
Including other Indians?
Yeah, we do have members of other Indians going to school here. Of course, Chittimacha we consider, you know, part of our system, so they come in. Sometimes we have members of other tribes come in, or one or two. Because I think most of you pretty well know what school system we operate, right? Because I think we operate in every community except Oklahoma. So, giving us 6 elementary schools here and then one down in Chickamauga. And of course, Choctaw Central is also a high school section now. And this year, we're going into, eventually changing into elementary school, middle school, and then the high school. This is the first year that we're going into the middle school concept. So we used to call it junior high, now we're going to call it middle school. So.
How come
y'all
operate in Oklahoma?
The school used to be operated down in Oklahoma since when it was. In 1966 and 67 years was the last time it was operated, about 10 years ago. And it was finally decided back then that it might be best for the Indian students and to go to public school down there, mainly because we just had one teacher down there and I think the enrollment was about 18 or 20, somewhere in there. And we felt like that money could be very well spent in public school, which the community agreed. And so the students down there go to public school. Because we do provide a little bit of assistance, on average about $10,000 a year on funds from the Johnson O'Malley Act, which is to take care of some of the expenses that the parents have to spend, for the children, workbooks, if they have to pay the workbooks, and there, band equipment, insurance for playing on the athletics, those types of things. And of course, we had some paid half-time salary, I think, for a teacher last year. And also, we paid for a person to be a liaison between the community and the school system. And we had one Indian employee down under that. But all in all, they're all in public school.
What are the qualifications for being superintendent?
Basically, it was experience in management. And running an organization, dealing with the people, the human relationship there, experiencing handling money, budgeting. And also, I think it's helpful also if a person knows something about the Indian tribe with whom he's working. So there's a lot of things that you make decision from this desk here that you should know, what the people are thinking about, what the most benefit to most people. How they're going to work out programs that might be needed. I think that is a big factor. You pretty well have a pretty good idea of what the tribe wants. And of course, it always helped too getting some, higher education, college degrees. And of course, that is not required as such, but something like superintendent around the country who are not college graduates, but they do have experience that would make up for that time. Some new people might be interested in being one, but there's no requirement that it has to be a man.
Can a woman be a superintendent?
Yeah, a woman can be a superintendent. And I believe within the Bureau, there's one lady superintendent living in Turtle Mountain Agency. So it's wide open.
Tell us about your family.
Well, I'm married to a local Choctaw here, and we've got 2 children, 2 girls. One is in first grade now at Choctaw Central. One, I don't know what she would become, but she was still at home. And of course, my family, I come from a family of four. All grew up down in Standing Pine and pretty well scattered out.
What does she want for?
She's not working. Housewife, I guess you call her.
This past year?
This will be based on fiscal years, which is, you know, the government way of keeping the money. It was $2,172,000.
You made plans for the school too, don't you?
Yes, we do. Really, going into curriculum and what class is going to be taught, and what course is going to be taught, those type of things, I pretty well leave it up to the education people, our education program administrator.
Any new programs added?
But I'm still responsible for, you know, for the operation as a superintendent. Of course, next fiscal year, beginning October 1, we'll have $2,351,900 for the school budget. And the school budget, out of this school budget, what we do is we pay for the salaries of the teachers and the aides. And we pay the salaries of the bus drivers and the custodial people. We pay for the salaries of some of the aides that are in the classroom. And also we pay for the dormitory people. And we also pay for the food service people, cooks in the kitchens. And also from that, you know, we buy the supplies and material that's needed in the school, and we buy the food, and also pay for long-distance telephone calls, and, you know, what it needs to run the school system, bus rental, and some of the car rental that we have to have, our guys to visit the school, and also we do pay the travel for people who travel. In some cases, you know, student travel too needs to pay going up to football games and end of course going something or there or something.
What kind of plans do you have for the future for the school system?
Well, right now, as far as extracurricular activity, I think we're pretty well up to par. I'm thinking mainly of the high school now. I think our athletic program has come along pretty good. And I believe the music department has come along pretty good. And of course, the main emphasis right now, of course, is improving the curriculum. Because to me, that's the basis of our existence here, really, is to teach the Indian children. And classroom, that's where, you know, the children are being taught. And I think the main emphasis should be put there. Because I'm not entirely satisfied with the curriculum that we do offer now. And certainly we want to improve that so that the children going through the school now would have the skills and the education that they would be needed in the future years. And of course, the dormitory programs, I think, we can improve quite a bit there. When I first came in as superintendent, one of the things I was not happy about, of course, was the dormitory operation, mainly because it appeared that it was just people, you know, place to keep children in, and that's it. And I think dormitory should be more than that. I think learning can be going on in the dormitories after school hours. And I also think the dormitory should be a little bit like home. It'll never be home, I know, but I think we can do something that you know, that the students would like to stay there. And of course, we've started the program of this career awareness thing last year, and we hope to continue that. I think the big thing there was that most of the students may not or do not want to go to college. I think we can come to a point and we can at least make the student aware there are professions available to them that maybe they want to pursue it in later life. And that's the main thing we started up, and I think we need to continue that. And of course, we've talked about various other things that have been planning for the school system, and we've talked about maybe vocational school that maybe we ought to start. And eventually, I think even the tribal council has passed a resolution looking at the possibility of a community college here on the reservation. Of course, those are some of the things we're kicking around. You don't know what it'll come about, but because if you don't have dreams, you know, you can't get anywhere. Still dreams, but I think with a lot of hard work and a lot of cooperation, and everybody working together, you know, a lot of these dreams to come true. Of course, certainly, I think one of the aims that we have, of course, is the developing of the skills of our teachers. Of course, when we get our teachers, they all have college degrees and they're certified to teach within the state of Mississippi for that kind of stuff. But then again, I think that as human beings, there are a lot of things that we can do that can improve ourselves. And then certainly, I think that that's the aim that we should have too, is to improve the capability of the teachers to polish up their abilities so that, you know, they can provide the best service that they can.
Do you enjoy working at the
school? Yes, I certainly do. You know, the superintendent, like I say, you know, the superintendent is responsible for all the operations here. So, you know, day-to-day affairs, day-to-day duties, you know, it's different almost from day-to-day, from week-to-week. There's always something new comes up, of course. As a superintendent, I think the main thing is the people with whom he works. And certainly the Choctaw tribe, I think, is one of the more progressive tribes in the country. And I think there's a lot of things that's going on in the reservation here. That's good things. And you see something new coming up. And the atmosphere here, I think, is good. I enjoyed it, and it's exciting. You know, you start planning some things, and a few months later, maybe several years later, you see something come up that you talked about 2-3 years ago, and it makes it feel good. And I've always said that you know, if this position becomes a job to me, that's the day I'll quit. I hope it never gets to that point. But I still enjoy, you know, working here, and I like it. And if it just becomes a mere job for me, then it's time for me to move along.
What did you major in college?
I majored in speech, emphasis on television and radio, announcing and programming, kind of stuff. Wrote a lot of commercials. So I'm not so sure, you know, that's a good prerequisite for being a superintendent, but I think, you know, as far as the human relationship part of it, and in dealing with people, I think that was a help. But the whole idea was communications, getting your point across to the people and vice versa. So that way I think that's it. Only thing now, we're settling progress and improving your reservations, trying to, instead of setting soap or something like that, tires or cars and stuff like that. Of course, there are problems here, and I think there's a lot of things going on here that we're quite proud of. I think some of the progress that's been made in the reservation, some of the problems that that may be solved eventually. And unfortunately, we still do have problems here. I think some of the basic problems that we as Choctaws face, I think number one is education. Of course, in the last few years, I think that the education level of the tribe has grown quite a bit. But as a group, I don't think we are up to the level that, that we're capable of. I believe quite strongly in the Choctaw people and their abilities, and I think there are long ways to go for all of us, I think, to come to that point we can use all of our capabilities in order to do things. And certainly gratifying to me, I think, if we have more people, I think, nowadays involved in the educational process, not only the little children, the preschoolers and the school-age children, but also the adults. Of course, we've got a lot of adults involved in this adult education program. So I think last couple of years, we've had more Choctaw students attending universities and colleges. I think that's a real healthy attitude. And I think the momentum is there. We can keep going. And eventually, the education level of the whole tribe will be up to par with the national level and even surpass that. And one of the main problems we have, another problem that we have, of course, is our jurisdictional question. There's a court case that we've had recently that's gone against us, and it says that we're not an Indian tribe, and the Choctaw Reservation is not considered Indian country as far as jurisdictional question is concerned. And I think that's the main problem that we do have, right? That creates a whole lot more problem than we normally would have in our criminal justice system and the court system and even some of the areas that we have to work with. And hopefully we can solve that to our advantage, and there again I think it would be a big help to us. And another problem I think that we have to solve is the economic situation on the reservation. I think it's pretty well evident that there are quite a bit of money coming in, and even the Bureau itself is throwing a lot of money in here because of Indian tribe here. I mean, if you think of other federal agencies, and there's a lot of money coming in the Choctaw Reservation, and a lot of people have jobs now. But then again, these are all appropriated money. And we never know when the Congress is going to stop this flow of money coming in. I think the economic situation will have to improve over having more stable jobs available. Because if the federal money cuts off today, most of us will be unemployed, so you're counting to be looking for jobs. But I think we can develop some industries or commercial enterprises on the reservation that would, give good jobs to people that we can feel like we've been here for a long time. And I think that would be a big help, so that we can have more variety of jobs there for the industry.
Do you think we should have bilingual jobs?
In what?
Bilingual education course in high school.
Yes, I think that's needed, the bilingual folks. Not only, I think the bilingual education program came into being to assist the people who normally don't speak English or using English as a second language type, just like most of us here in Choctaw, in order for them to understand and to learn to speak English quicker and better. We are gradually losing our Choctaw language here. I think that's a good thing that could be done, is to maintain the Choctaw language, preserve the Choctaw language. And I'm hoping things could be worked out, but we can preserve pretty well the way they spoke a long time ago. Even now, I think a lot of us have forgotten a lot of Choctaw language. Pronunciation is not that good, that kind of stuff. So I feel like that's a good program.
Where did the funds for the hospital?
It came from, appropriation to the United States Congress, but I think they funded the money through the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, through the Indian Health Service.
For
the hospital? I think basically the Choctaw Health Board has a big say-so in who gets hired in the hospital. This is a group of Indian people who are appointed by the tribal council to run the health program on the reservation, and they're responsible for all that. Hospital is one of those. And of course, it's my understanding that there are several people who are hired through the civil service regulation. They are civil service employees, and others are tribal employees. But all in all, I think the Choctaw Health Board has pretty well to say so.
So far, what's the budget of the hospital?
I don't know. I'm not quite involved in that much in hospital operations, so I don't know.
Where did the co-op store get its money to be?
The co-op store? I believe that originally the money was set up by Office of Economic Opportunity when OEO was still in existence. I think they changed it into ONAP now, into some of the program money, but also for Native American programs and HUW. I think the original money came from Office of Economic Opportunity to build the building and also to stock it. I think that's where it got started.
What about Charter Construction?
Charter Construction Company is a part of the Charter Development Company, which is an organization set up by the Tribal Council with the peer support and everything like that, and then they got it's a state chartered organization, chartered through the state of Mississippi. And the industrial park, which was developed, the money came from the Economic Development Administration, Department of Commerce, to build a park and do the grading and the sewer system and the water system developed there. Charter Construction Company, I think they're always on the lookout for a construction contract they can get from anybody. So that sort of thing is to keep them going now, the construction contract that they've got. There's a federal agency in the tribe.
Do you think the school system should be improved a little bit?
Yes, I think so, because well, one thing, I think in the school system we can do a whole lot more to make it a good school system. And I can see no reason why we can't. It'd be the top system in Mississippi and even the Southeast. I think we can the facilities are there. And I think Choctaw students are smart enough to beat anybody in the school system. And I think if we work on the staff and the students and the curriculum and several other areas, I think we can improve it. First looking at it, and also it's my nature also to be dissatisfied with the status quo, you know. I just feel like I'm never satisfied with what we got. I think we can always improve, and I think that's where we should go, and that's my feeling, that we can improve the school system. Of course, certainly I think a lot of this we should be working with the parents and people in the community to see what the school system they desire for their children. After all, you know, we're the guys that we're working for. And with that, you know, with the cooperation we can develop and to help each other attitude, and I think we can develop a school system that's second to none out here. And that's what I hope we do.
Are they planning to add more courses
into the
school?
I haven't talked to the education people recently on the thing, but certainly if there's a need there, then we can do that. Of course, some of the things that we've looked at, of course, is maybe. More mathematic courses, and those types of things. The people who want to go into technical fields later would need a lot of mathematics, algebra, geometry. And I think some high schools even offer general requirements on physics, and those type of things we're going to have. And the Choctaw students who want to go into highly technical field of engineering or medical field. There's other things that would need that type of technical knowledge and mathematics in education. And I think we would maybe look into the possibility of offering more business courses.
Do you think we should have more courses on this?
Well, there again, it depends on the. Is it your battery? I just feel like that if the courses is what's needed for the Indian children, then I'm willing to go ahead and set up more courses. What is needed? I'm not so sure whether to just go ahead and set up courses, just to be setting up courses. Because, they do cost money, the teachers you have to hire, setting up the classrooms and buy the materials and equipment that you will need. And there again, there's so many hours, too, that the students spend in the high school. I'm not so sure, sometime where we might run long hours, and that might get the students tired, and they won't be too much interested. They may not learn as much. So. Well, what do you think? Maybe you ought to teach more courses? You guys are going to say, like what? Well, eventually it's coming up, I think, where it's bilingual. And I think the development is now, with the primary grades coming up. And eventually we're going to pick up grade in time and go through the whole thing. Hopefully, through the 12 grades one of these days. And also, I think one of the problems that the bilingual people have, there are just no materials available anywhere to teach chocolate. They got to develop themselves. You know, that takes time too. So they're developing for the little children now, I think, which is quite elementary, I guess. So it'd be a different way of developing for high school students, you know. You talk to them differently than you do with some small kids. So it just takes time to develop the material, I think, the problem of it. Because I would like to see it in high school grades now, too. There's just no material that would, you know, that would be good material that would be helpful to the students.
When is the nursing home expected to be completed?
I think they're talking about the middle of October. Within the next 6 weeks, I guess, 8 weeks before. Well, I say that I heard that they were, you know, probably turn the building over by the middle of October, the final inspection on the building, you know, make sure the building is built right. We're ready to go. From that, I don't know when they're going to go into operation.
What is the estimate cost of one building?
Oh, Jesus, that I don't know.
How come they're building a log cabin? For what reason?
Well, let's see. Log cabin, you're talking about one that Choctaw Central in the trees out there, right? I believe that money came from the bicentennial. The money that was made available. Of course, I don't know how much it cost or anything like that because that was run by the tribe. You know, I don't get involved in that kind of detail. But I think that it was originally designed so that, you know, they can, you know, show people that, you know, how Choctaws lived way back yonder. 100 years ago or so, maybe 50. You know, that's still in the tradition, trying to revive some of the traditional values. And I think there was an idea behind it too, was also to use that as an arts and craft sales outlet.
Can you tell us about the fire department?
Fire department? Let's see, I know very little about it. I believe Neshoba County is going into the program of providing fire protection to the residents in the rural area. Of course, the city of Philadelphia has its own fire department here, but the people out in the rural area do have problems. So I think a couple of years ago they went in the business of volunteer fire department type thing. And out of Choctaw Central, we do have a volunteer fire department out there. With people in the community, you know, who are interested in this type of thing, and civic-minded people who want to help. So they got together and organized a volunteer fire department. Of course, we did have a firehouse there at the school and a fire engine sitting there, so, you know, sort of cooperatively went together and said, yeah, that'd be a good idea. Also, that gives us protection, too. Say, if we happen to have a fire on the campus, and, you know, and then the volunteer department will be right there with a truck and be quick to respond, rather than, you know, from the fire truck from town to get out there. It takes, you know, several minutes to get out there. So it's also our protection, too. My understanding, you know, this volunteer fire department, there's several of them around the county.
Can you tell us about the fire
department?
When did they put up the
Lord of Tank? Oh, that went up about the same time as the high school, so I assume it was around 1963, 1964. And located on campus. So that was within the same project. So it would be within that year somewhere.
Who pays for the cost of lunch from the cafeteria?
Lunch? The education money, you know, the budget I gave you. That's where we get the money. Breakfast and dinner too, you know, for the people living down there.
What about those musical instruments?
It comes out at the same time. It's a little bit different from public school, I think. Public school, I think parents got all their money to, or rent it or something.
Do you have
but, well, everything that we use and all the equipment and the school system coming out of the fund that I was talking about. Now, of course, the repairs and the maintenance and the taking care of the water tank, taking care of the water, and electric bill and gas bill, it comes out another fund. It comes out of plant management. And also basic costs for telephone. But then the education people pay for the long distance car and then they go on the top.
Where does the money come from to build all these new houses?
That still is money appropriated by the United States Congress, but it comes through the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, they call it HUD. We always go into this initial type thing, you know, dealing with the government. You know, that's where it's coming from, through them. And the Choctaw Housing Authority was set up by the Tribal Council to do nothing but construct housing and operate housing for the people. So that's what we got to know. All right, let me ask you a question. You would have any kind of recommendation, what should we do to improve the school system? All of your students out there, right? I'd be interested in your ideas. How do we improve the system?
What changes do you expect to see?
Well, the first thing I think, the trend right now, of course, is getting more Indian teachers in the system. And I think the trend is there. Any vacancies that's come up, we've been fortunate, I think, in finding Indian teachers to fill it. Because, of course, this Indian preference law that we have to operate under has been helpful to us in that way. Personally, I always felt like the Indian attacked him. Something happening now, of course, is all the vacancies that has come up, say, in the principal position in our school system. So far, we've been able to fill those positions in Indian principals. And of course, I got two principal jobs open right now, and of course I don't know who I'll get. The job closed last Friday, I think. But, you know, we've been fortunate to do that. To, you know, the top administrators being Indian people, which I think is maybe I can understand the needs of the Indian students better. And there again, I think we're going more and more into hiring more Indian teachers in the school system, and then maybe that would be helpful also. And I think one of the changes that, like I said in the beginning, was improving the curriculum. You know, what courses are taught. That's the main thing. And also get good staff and teach those courses. because I think the potential is there. But Indian students can go under that type of atmosphere and under those type of conditions, I think, can perform. And another thing I think we should emphasize to improve the system, I think, is to expect more from our teachers, and which in turn will expect more from our students. And it's been my experience that I find out that if you expect more from the people, then the people will produce, they will respond. And I think that's where we should approach it, I think, is to expect more from our Indian students. And those I've seen, they've responded real good. They come up to your expectation, more sometimes.
The school books, are they state-owned?
Yeah, we do use the state textbook system.
How do you feel about contracting?
Contracting? As far as the school system or any other thing, I guess. I think that's one way of ensuring that the local people controls. Say, we're talking about school system. I think that's one way of ensuring that local people control the school system. And everything being equal, I think that type of setup, the school system might be more responsible to the community. That's the way it is everywhere else, you know, all the public school system, the local people run it. And I think the Choctaws can do the same.
Well, you're for or against contracting?
For or against? Looking at it from the point of local control, I'm for it. Because I think that's a, like I said, in the beginning, I think, and I believe in Choctaw people, and I think they can do things. And this is one area that they can make their feeling known and also make the school system more responsive to their needs and to their wishes.
Who pays for the athletic supply?
It comes out of the same money.
Who pays for the
Maybe I've talked too much. Well, I think one of the nicer part of the job is I'm a Choctaw myself, and I've been here quite a while, you know, as far as age. I'm not going to tell you my age, but I've been here quite a while. I think the biggest thrill to me is the way the Indian students are coming up. It appears that they're more interested in what's going on and willing to, you know, put out the work. Sometimes it takes hard work to do things, and they're more willing to do that. And they're more open to new things and try to do better and try to improve themselves. I think that's one of the big gratifications I've had. Like I say, I expect quite a bit from the Indian students. Maybe I'm prejudiced that way, you know, but I think Indian students are top-notch to me. That's why I keep saying, you know, if we can build a better school system, then the generation coming up behind us, you know, can do more things than we can do. They will know more. They can probably can do more than we will. Which I think, well, basically come down as progress, I guess. But looking at the whole thing, you know, talked to several people that, you know, around the country that have seen our students on various trips. And that's one thing they've always pointed out to me, you know, the attitude of our students and the discipline of our students. Good students, they don't get in trouble. And they're just a nice group of kids. And so it makes you proud. Anything else?
I think that's
okay. Well, I hope that gives you what you wanted.